What is a short-term monk? A short-term monk is a person who lives at the Absolute Monastery and enjoys all of the activities there. So, if you're a short-term monk and you're living at the Absolute Monastery, you are enjoying the life of a monk. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're here for an hour, whether you're here for a day or a week or a month or a lifetime, you're always a short-term monk because you have the privilege of starting or stopping being a monk at any time. But along the way, you take care of your responsibilities. Along the way, you are a very special person who has decided to get the most out of life. Now, what is a monastery? A monastery is a building in which people live and in which people express themselves as close as possible to their ideal nature. A monastery is a hermitage where you live in quiet, peaceful attitude. You live in a quiet area where your mind is not bothered by what goes on in the world and by all the functions of the world, by all the movies and television and radio and all the things that are going on. Now, a monk does not place his attention in those areas. It's not that there's anything wrong with those areas. It's just that a person who chooses to be a monk for a short time or a long time does not give himself more problems than needed in causing him to think about things that are not any of his business. A monk's only business is to live in his ideal spirit, mind, and body, and to see all things in divine order. If a monk sees all things in divine order, where is there anything to be helped? Where is there anything to be changed? Where is there anything that has to be done? A monk living in this hermitage does many things, but none of these things are to the outward world significant. At least that's what people think. A monk doesn't live in a retreat. A retreat is where you go away from the problems of the world, and yet you still hold them in your heart. A retreat is where you are looking for a chance to get away from the problems of your everyday life, and you're not really doing much to make a change. You're having them in the back of your heart, in the back of your mind, in the back of your world. So a hermitage and a monastery are not a retreat. They are a site of unconditional love. Every person who enters the monastery, the Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, does so as the site of unconditional love. Every person who enters the Absolute Monastery completely releases their previous life, releases the previous problems, releases the people who were in their lives, and the people who might be in the future in their life. They do not give that any attention. The monk who enters the Absolute Monastery enters into now, living now. There's no other time but now. There's no past, there's no future. The only life that a monk knows at the Absolute Monastery is now. He is in total harmony with the scientific community, which teaches that all time and all space are right here and right now. Being that the hermitage, the monastery, is a site of unconditional love, there is nothing to judge anything in the world. There's nothing to think about anything in the world except to see it good and very good, to see all in divine order, see all harmony, to see all at peace. And when you live in that attitude of mind, you are so far beyond any retreat, so far beyond any hermit who lives in a hermitage, because you are living in your own inner realm of absolute peace, of absolute goodness, and your ideal spirit, mind, and body. And when you live in that attitude, oh my goodness, do wonderful things happen to you. The monastery is a place of being myself and having fun. What is being myself and having fun? Does that mean I can do anything I want to do and anything that pleases me and anything that gives me happiness? And the answer to that is unqualifiedly yes. If you choose to be a monk, you do not choose to be a worldly being. You are not interested in doing anything other than what is for the highest and best for your body, your mind, and your being. Now, a monk has no bad habits. He does not smoke. He does not drink alcohol of any kind, whether it's wine or beer or anything. And a monk has the highest desire for the finest food that he could possibly eat. A monk is only interested in eating quality foods and eating them lovingly, breathing air that is pure, drinking water that is pure, speaking words that are pure, doing everything that reflects the purity of his individual consciousness. Now you say, how do we get pure water and pure air and pure foods, and how do we get pure atmosphere and pure monks to come into the monastery, and how do you have pure monks who are at the monastery? How can they be that way? Well, when you go with the right attitude of mind entering the monastery, you will find that every single person in the monastery is a living master, living according to their ideal spirit, mind, and body, living according to their ideal premise of who they are and what they are and why they are. They have no desire to speak words that belittle or in any way cut people down. They have no desire for that. They recognize that when they say, the water they drink is pure, the water they drink is pure. Their word has the power to make that water absolutely pure. When they say the food they eat is the finest and best, they, by their word, make that food the finest and best. When they say they're breathing the air that is absolutely pure, then so be it. Whatever a monk in the monastery thinks, says, and does is backed by the realization that every word anybody speaks at any time is a reflection of who they are and a reflection of their ideals. And if a person thinks the water is pure, the air is pure, the food is pure, it is so. Even if science might claim that the food, the water, and the air was less than pure, to the monk it would be pure. And the monk would not be interested in what science has to say. The monk would barely know that every drop of water that the monk drinks is pure, every morsel of food the monk eats is pure, and every breath of air that the monk breathes is pure. Now, when you live in this attitude of mind, when you live in this frame of reference for your daily habits, they are so according to your word and according to your conviction. But this takes a living discipline. This takes a living discipline of being myself and having fun and knowing that what I call fun is my highest and best. What I say, being myself, is my highest and best. How do we live the discipline? We learn to live the discipline. we adhere to the monastery schedule. And the monastery schedule varies for each person somewhat, but basically it says you get up in the morning and prepare yourself for the day with your meditation. You dine together with the other monks, and you speak beautiful thoughts, you say beautiful things, you see the other person as a reflection of the beauty that's within you. You give loving attention to the monastery schedule, because there's a time to eat, there's a time to meditate, there's a time to do your monastery work, there's a time to do your meditation work, there's a time to do your study work. There's a time for all these things, and it is the monk's requirement to take that time definitely, powerfully, and usefully, and use it for himself. He doesn't care whether any other monk does it or not, he does. Whatever the schedule is that is given to him. It may be a strange schedule, or it may be a glorious schedule, it may be a recognizable schedule, a very good, but he follows it to the letter. A short-term monk gives his attention lovingly to any task. No matter what he's chosen to do, he does not compare himself to others, and he does not judge himself by what others do. He does his very finest at all times with everything that he does and sets out to do or is given to do. We give loving attention to our work, our study, and our meditation. And as we give loving attention to this, beautiful things happen to us. Our world is illumined, and as we see our study, as we see our work, as we see our meditation, all beautiful and fantastic, so we are. And so is all of our world, because we don't think of our family, we don't think of our previous homes, we don't think of the cities, the states, the worlds, the nations that we lived in before. We live in the present tense. First person, present tense, positive in everything we do. And as we live in this first person, present tense, positive in everything we do, we find all the world to be good and very good. That's all we see, and that's all we know. A monk does not compare himself to another. He only looks at his choices and his tasks and does them with exquisite good judgment. A monk is not judgmental. He does not judge anybody in the world because he does not know that anybody in the world is doing anything rather than what is for their highest and best, what is beautiful and good, and now. A monk is untouchable. He may hear a raucous sound, or he may see a raucous activity in his world, and this is of nothing to him. Because immediately, whenever he hears the sound, he draws himself back into his indwelling beingness, his indwelling spiritual consciousness, and he dwells there and lives there and enjoys the peace that is there. A monk is self-dedicated. He dedicates himself to whatever he does with his loving heart, with his joyous heart, and he doesn't feel that anyone has to tell him what to do. He just knows what to do. And if anything is said about needing to be done, the monk jumps up and runs out and does it before he has a chance to even think about it, and comes back in moments and having completed the task beautifully, totally, and perfectly. The monk is self-determined. He's determined to live this spiritual life, live the life of a spiritual master, be a spiritual master under all circumstances, and be delighted in being that. And a monk knows he can do it, and he does do it. A monk is self-diligent. No one has to turn him on. No one has to tell him what to do. A monk knows in his heart what is his path, and he follows it. A monk spends all his time in inward inspiration, in inward introspection, in inward going. Introspection is the word of the day. A monk lives in his inner self, in his inner being. Introspectively, a monk is guided, directed, and given all the support he wants for whatever goal he sets for himself. His introspection is his source of power, his source of understanding, his source of being. And the short-term monk finds that very satisfactory. And a monk pays his own way. When he comes to the monastery, he finds out what the donation is required there to eat and sleep and live and to have the training that he gets. And he makes sure that he is able to easily fund that for himself so that he can enjoy his stay as a short-term monk. All that information is available from the CEO, the abbess, and she will give that information to anyone who would like to have it. But the short-term monk comes away from the daily living, enters into peace, and hears the lectures given every day at the monastery. Hears the talks given every day on the internet. Works with the internet, works with the affirmations and meditations, works with all of the training that train the monk to see everyone a reflection of himself, which is not hard to do. And as he sees everyone a reflection of himself, he sees everyone whole and perfect, everyone absolutely magnificent, everyone grand indeed. For this is what life is all about. And this is what the world is all about. And this is what being a short-term monk at the Absolute Monastery in Campo, California is all about. If you have an interest in being a monk, in walking this path for any length of time, contact Ellen Jeremini, the abbess of the Absolute Monastery, and she'll give you all the details for being a short-term monk for a day, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime. And it's all up to you. Have a wonderful day and know that I, as the abbot, say to you, I love you. I love you. I love you.